fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side. Welcome to The Other Side. I'm Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. We have another great show that I think you're going to enjoy. Now, Plus Club members, I want to give you a little update. We are working on a new and improved Plus Club. Now, I've mentioned this before, but if you didn't catch it, we're working on a brand new app, and this app will allow non-members to listen to all my free content, and it will allow paid members like yourself to log in once, and it'll hold the login. You'll be able to go into the app and listen to everything. Another feature that a lot of people have requested on an app is a system where if you've listened to something, it's marked, and we're pretty sure that this is going to have that. I think it's going to be a really nice upgrade to the Plus Club. Plus, we'll have a new site, and the site will be comparable, but really where you're going to see the big benefit is in that new and improved app where you can listen to everything on the go much easier. And I think that you'll enjoy it. Now, what I've been told by the developers and the vendor I'm working with on this is that we should have a preliminary version of the app to look at in early May. That won't be for public release yet, but I'm hoping if we can get a look at it in early May, that possibly we could start migrating some people over in the month of June. That's kind of what I'm shooting for. Can't promise because at this point I've done everything I can do on my end and I'm kind of waiting for the developers. So we will keep you updated. I just wanted to let you know you've got something to look forward to for the Plus Club because you've been great with your support and we always want to make it better. And I think that we will. So I hope that that you'll enjoy that. Also, we have part two of our Ouija webinar coming with Karen Dahlman. And that's going to be live on April 26th at 10 p.m. Eastern. So I think that you would enjoy that. And you can find the sign-up information over at jimharold.net. We have her for part one. I'm still in the process of getting that edited and posted, the archive. But Karen was fantastic. I mean, people raved about her. I think it's one of the best webinars we've done. So if you haven't checked that out, go over to jimharold.net and sign up for that. So with no further ado, the updates are out of the way. We've got the clerical stuff done. Here is The Other Side. Today, the topic is tarot, specifically something called kitchen table tarot. So pull up a chair, shuffle the cards, and let's talk tarot. In fact, that is the title of a new book by our guest, Melissa Sanova, Kitchen Table Tarot. Pull up a chair, shuffle the cards, and let's talk tarot. So looking forward to it. Melissa, when she was 14, one of her classmates gave her a deck of tarot cards for unknown reasons. Maybe it was the universe. She's been reading them ever since. In addition to being a prolific tarot reader, she teaches classes at her kitchen table and at tarot conferences, and she lives in St. Louis, Missouri. Melissa, welcome to the program today.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, when we're in school, people show us a lot of things, you know, in different things. Why do you think that tarot resonated with you and you've made it a big part of your life?
I think that, now, when I first got them, I was 14. And I didn't know what they were because I went to Catholic school, you know.
Uh-oh.
And that's not really on the agenda for Catholic school.
Right, not in the curriculum.
But my friend Steve, right, he gave these to me. And he said, you need to have these. You need to learn how to use them. And I just remember taking them and saying, yeah, that seems right. That seems, you know, like I had a missing tooth and he found my missing tooth and suddenly this hole was filled. And I started reading for my dad. He was my biggest guinea pig, you know, and my dad is my hero. He's like, he's a cop, you know, and this big gruff kind of guy. But boy, he would sit down with this little girl and say, tell me what's going to happen tomorrow, Lissy Dawn. And I would throw the cards for him. And sometimes I was accurate and sometimes I wasn't. But I practiced on him so much and on my friends and then started doing it more and more in high school and college. And it just became a part of who I was. So I think that guy, who I'm trying to find, by the way, Steve, if you're out there, find me. I think he kind of, I don't know, got nudged maybe to hand me this deck, which was, it's a 1971 deck. I still use it every day for my daily draws. It's older than me. And it just felt like it was mine. Like he was handing me something that was mine.
That's so cool. Like it was meant for you.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about this book, Kitchen Table Tarot, I also don't know if it's tarot or what's your preferred pronunciation, tarot or?
Some people say tarot and yeah. Some people say tarot, and I think it depends on how you feel like saying it, honestly.
Yeah, whatever.
Because it's like it's a regionalism, you know, potato, potato, tarot,
like,
tarot, whatever.
I'd like you to read the tarot.
Yeah.
Well, Kitchen Table Tarot. What is Kitchen Table Tarot specifically?
To me, it's, I started writing the book as a blog about 7 years ago. One of my Canadian friends wanted to learn the cards, but it was too expensive to call back and forth, you know. So I started a WordPress blog for my friend Suzanne. And then other people found it and started reading it. And pretty soon I had a pretty heavy following. And then about 4 years ago, I decided that Melissa Tarot was kind of simplistic. And I went to Little Fox Tarot because it's my spirit totem. And now it's a business. So, but the idea of the kitchen table is that's how I teach people. Like we'll sit around the table because I don't know about your kitchen table. Mine always has people around it, right? We're either coloring or cooking or eating or talking or drinking or whatever. But everything, you know, it doesn't matter how comfortable your living room is. Everybody's right. Going to end up in the kitchen.
Yep.
So it's just this kind of, I would sit and I would give my friend a reading and they say, well, what's that card mean? And I'm like, okay, well, this is death. And do you see how death is just bulldozing over everybody? Change is coming whether you like it or not. Either you get on board with change or you get run over like this guy here. And that's what death means. And it was just a very straightforward, clear-spoken way of getting the meanings of the cards across. And before I knew it, I'd be 50 cards in, and my friends taking notes, and they could start doing readings. And that's how I teach. It's kind of off the cuff. Like, I posted about the Lover's card today on my Instagram. And the Lover's card is two naked people, like, reaching out towards each other. And there's a burning bush behind one, and there's an angel standing behind them with this flaming headgear. And it's all a very, like, Judeo-Christian influenced biblical image, right?
Right.
But the important part are the two people's hands reaching out to each other. It's that magnetism, right? That this person is mine, and I'm going to make out with them, and it's going to be great. Like, that's the energy of the Lovers, is that energy between the two hands that I found a person. Maybe not my person forever, but definitely for tonight, and maybe for a while. And that energy that you get with another person, now you know that's the Lover's card. That's all it is, you know? And you can feel that way about a project or like I'm making a deck with a friend of mine and I'm super excited about it. I'm in the Lover's card right now with this deck. It's amazing. So it's that kind of energy. So my kitchen table approach is to break down the cards in ways that anybody can understand. And then later they can go and look up the history because it's really interesting. And the more esoteric versions, you know, that all the Judeo-Christian imagery is really important in the background of the card. But once you get the basic meaning down, you can add those layers, you know?
Right.
I can talk about this all day, by the way.
No, that's good. That's good. That's what we do here. Now, let me ask you this. Now, do people take the cards too literally? You talked about death and people think, I'm going to die. I mean, do people tend to take the cards too literally? Yeah. Do people tend to take them too literally?
Every time I see someone in a movie or TV show leave the death card behind for a serial killer, I'm like, oh, good, he's going to quit killing and change his ways. How nice. You know, it's not a scary card. Well, unless change frightens you, right? But people will get the moon card and say, oh, isn't that pretty? And I'm like, babe, that card's about fear. It is pretty, but sometimes pretty things are dangerous, right? Or I read for a lot of people who are gay and transgendered, and people of color who get frustrated that a lot of the tarot cards out there are white people, white straight people, which I understand that frustration, but tarot cards are symbolism. So I come across a lot of times as the King of Swords, and I don't identify as a cis male and I'm Native American. But that image, that the meaning behind the King of Swords, someone who likes to write and think and be challenged, that's me, you know, even though it's a dude in the cards. But luckily there are a lot of new tarot decks that have, and I've got in my book, I've got a whole list of cards that feature people of color and people who are queer. And people all of different ages and shapes and sizes. So the tarot world is edging towards a more diverse outlook, which is great, but you can still pick up a 60-year-old deck and make it mean something to you. So
what do you think the most misunderstood part of tarot is?
I'm not a fortune teller. I think that's the thing. Oh, and that I'm a devil worshiper. Those two things. Just, I'm neither. Fortune telling to me is you're going to meet a tall, dark, handsome stranger and blah-de, blah-de, blah-de. And my readings are basically, here's some stuff that happened in the past that you still need to work through. Here's some stuff that's going on right now and some tips about how to do it. And if you continue on this path, here's what's going to happen. So there's a tiny little bit at the end of fortune telling, right? But most of it is fix your life. Right? This person that you're dating is cheating on you. You know this. You wouldn't have called me if you didn't know this. Why are you still with them? There's no justification.
So
right?
let me give you a comparison. You know, let's say that you go to the doctor and they say, we're going to put you on high blood pressure medication. That doesn't mean I'm saying you're going to get a stroke. It's saying I'm putting you on high blood pressure medication so you don't get a stroke. Now, if you don't take the medication and do whatever you want, pretty good chances you might get a stroke. Is that kind of a fair comparison?
So I had this reading last year. I swear to God, I'm going to write a book called I Had This Reading This One Time. but I had this reading this one time, and this woman called, and she paid off like $35,000 in debt, right? Which was really great because she's a single mom, and she, you know, busted her backside trying to get out of this debt. And I was super proud of her. I was like, you did it. Way to go. If you continue the patterns that you set up, you will never see debt again. You won't. And you won't have that monkey hanging off your back. Well, she called me 6 months later and she's $20,000 in debt again.
Oh, gosh.
And she said, you said I wouldn't see debt again. You said, and I said, no, dumbass. I said, if you kept doing what you were doing, you wouldn't see debt again. You didn't listen to me. You're in debt again. Congratulations. You've learned nothing. So don't yell at me because you didn't do your homework. So every reading I get, you have homework. If you don't do your homework, I'm not your mother. I'm not Oprah, right? I can't make you do anything, but I can tell you maybe drinking every night is bad for you. Maybe you want to reconsider that. Or maybe living in a place where you're miserable when you miss the ocean so badly. Maybe living in St. Louis is not the place for you, right? So I can offer up suggestions. But they have to figure out if those suggestions work for them, because some people get very comfortable in just being okay. You know, it's very scary to change. So I give usually gentle, I'm kind of a smart ass, but usually gentle, you know, nudges. I bet you'd be more happier here. This is what I'm seeing. But if they don't go, they don't go, you know?
Now, in the book, you talk about the care and keeping of you and your tools. What do you mean by that?
I think, so a couple years ago, I did a tarot reading, did readings at the St. Louis Pagan Picnic, which is one of my favorite places in the world. I usually sit outside from Saturday morning until Sunday night, and I just do readings for whoever comes by, right? I did about 50 readings in 2 days. This is stupid. Because if you do that many readings and you open yourself up that wide, have you ever bent a car door backwards against the body of a car?
Yeah, not good.
And you try to, you can't just push it back. You have to ease it slowly and then it goes back, right? Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
That happened to me. So this is the first time I heard a ghost because it was my 51st reading. My door's blown open, right? And I hear this woman over my shoulder, this lady I'm reading for says, my mother died. My father wants me to do laundry for him all the time and clean his house, and I don't know what to do. I have no time. And I hear over my left shoulder, he's a son of a bitch when I was alive, and he's a son of a bitch now, and you're not his slave. And I was like, do what? And there's no one behind me, right? And I can clearly see this woman with gray hair shaking her fist at me going, he's a son of a bitch then, and he's a son of a bitch, and you're not his. And I was like, weird. Okay, so lady across who I don't know, there's a German lady swearing at me and shaking her fist, and here's what she's saying. And she goes, oh, my God, Mom. And I'm like, what the hell? So in order to not have that happen to you, maybe you don't do 50 readings in 2 days. You do maybe 20, right? Hmm. And then you take care of yourself, and you sleep, and you eat good food, and you don't drink like I was doing, and, you know, you don't stay out till 1 a.m. eating sushi like I was doing. You know what I mean? You take good care of yourself, because the spiritual work that we're doing is work. And if you wear yourself out, then you're open to all sorts of weird things. So taking care of yourself includes grounding yourself, includes drinking lots of water, eating protein, all of the things that you would do after a hard day's work, right? And taking care of your tools is making sure that your cards are treated with respect so they keep working and don't suddenly become little pieces of pretty paper, you know? I had a deck that I kept in the bottom of my purse for like 2 months because I was lazy and kept forgetting to take it out. It quit working because it didn't like being covered with hair bands, you know, and the detritus you find in the bottom of a purse. It didn't like that very much, so it quit working for me, and it should have. So there's parts in the book about how to, you know, make sure that your cards are clean from all the energy that you're soaking up during readings, and that you treat them with respect.
Another thing, and people, you know, there's some people listening to this are very steeped in tarot and they know this, but I think there's even more people probably listening who aren't as familiar. So you hear the mm-hmm. word arcana kind of mm-hmm. bandied about, and there's the major arcana and the minor. Explain those to us, because I've had it explained to me before, but I've kind of forgotten, and I'm sure some people out there wonder about that. And I know you cover that in the book.
Yeah, the way that I can illustrate, the major arcana to me, or arcana, potato, potato, right, is...
I thought it sounded more sophisticated.
Verily, verily, forsooth. Okay, so major arcana, we're talking like streetlights, right? Something that's showing up in your life that's saying, pay attention to me, and flashing at you, okay? So the minor arcana is kind of like street signs. Maybe you yield here, maybe you turn left here. Maybe you go down this street instead of that street, right? So the majors, if I give a reading to somebody and they have, let's say, 3 or 4 majors in their life, they got a lot of work to do, right? So this is either going to be, I'm going to change my job, or I'm still dealing with the death of my mother and suspecting my day-to-day so much that I can't concentrate. Or I'm trying to decide whether, and I had a reading like 2 weeks ago with this fella who's, and I said, Jesus, everything's changing. He's like, yep. And I said, so you're breaking up with your partner, moving, getting a new job, and joining a new faith. Yes. Oh, and your mother just died. I'm so sorry. He's like, yeah. So sometimes that happens. There are a lot of majors in his reading, because there's a lot of stand up and pay attention in his reading. And then I have some that are all inverted minors. So not a whole lot going on, but you have some corrections to make, right? And you can maybe help other people out a little bit. And it's just that kind of look around where you are instead of where you're going, I guess, would be a good way. So, I don't know, in spatial reasoning, I would say the minor arcanas is kind of what's in your neighborhood, and the major arcanas is what's in your city, if that makes sense.
It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. Now, another.
Oh, good. It makes sense to two of us. So, yeah. There we go.
And I'm sure there's more out there. They just don't have a microphone. Now, in terms of tarot readers, it's not like something. Now, I'm guessing that there probably are some organizations, professional organizations and something, but it's not like the doctor where you go and he has a certificate on the wall saying that he graduated right. from thus and so school. I mean, anybody can get a deck of cards and say, I am a reader. I'm a professional reader. Yeah. I mean, how do you kind of separate the wheat from the chaff and know if you're dealing with the real deal, or maybe somebody that's just maybe looking to make a fast buck, or and maybe they're well-intentioned, but really not that competent. How do you suss all that out?
I'm in a kind of cool position, and then I have lots of friends who are good readings, and we swap all the time, right? So my friends are tarot readers. And I will flat tell them if they need to work on their stuff. But I'm really lucky in that most of my friends are competent readers, and I totally get free readings all the time. So lucky. And I trade them for my readings. So they'll tell me if I'm getting a little lazy, right? But if I'm going, like I went to Chicago about 10 years ago, and we did those, you know, the signs on the sidewalk, like $10 tarot readings. I'm like, yeah.
Sure.
Because every new city I go to, I get a reading. And I go up the stairs, and this place is like decked out. You know what I'm saying? It's like velvet everywhere, incense burning, and all of this stuff. And there was a TV, and then there was an office behind. It was a really interesting setup. And I had a hangover, right? Because it's in Chicago, right? No kids? Chicago? Hello? I think I drank all of their Jack Daniels. I think they ran out. So I had a hangover. I'm sitting there holding my head, trying to keep it from falling off. And she calls me back, and I'm sitting next to my then husband, who's decked out in Cardinals gear, right? Because St. Louis Cardinals, and we're in Chicago.
Sure.
So I go back to get this reading, and she's like, she does this weird thing where she's like, like breathing like that. And then she's, her eyes are kind of up in her head. She's like, I sense that you're very ill. And I'm like, do you sense that I'm ill? And I let her keep going. Cause remember, hangover, holding on to my head, a little sweaty. And she's like, and you've traveled from a distance to come here. I see bright red. I see a bird. You're from St. Louis. And I was like, oh, she's got a camera in her little waiting room. How interesting. So now I'm paying closer attention to her. And I noticed she's got the reflection from the television screen bouncing on her skirt, right? So she was watching this the whole time, which is creepy. Then she tells me that she can tell I'm shy. No, I'm not. She can tell that I have a hard time talking to people. No. And that I have this cloud following me of bad energy. And I was like, oh, really? Like Pigpen and Charlie Brown? And she's like, yes. And she grabs onto that, right? And then she tells me if I can give her $500 a month as my personal psychic advisor,
boy,
she'll remove the cloud. That's a bargain, right? And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. And she goes, well, and she pulls this candle out from underneath. And it's just like a bodega candle, right? And she's like, I've blessed this. I knew you were coming today, and I've blessed this candle especially for you. And I can't know. I don't know if she could hear my eyes rolling at this part. For $300, I will sell you this magical candle. And I was like, I'm going to stop you right there. First of all, you suck at this. Secondly, shame on you. People come to get readings because they're sad or broken and busted, and you're taking advantage. And fourth, I could buy that candle down at Target for $5. You know what I'm saying? So, and then I left. And so that kind of person, she's in every city. She is. And you just have to, word of mouth. That's how you avoid it. You call me. If you know, I swear a lot, and I'm kind of a smart ass. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. If you don't want a reading from me, I will give you five reputable readers in all price ranges that you can go see instead of me. Any decent tarot reader will refer you to one if you're not their cup of tea. Anybody who says, oh, I don't refer out, shady, a little bit shady. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a big community and everybody's got everybody's back that's in it for the right reasons. So if you're looking for a tarot reader and I'm not your thing, shoot me an email and I will absolutely help you find a reader in your area. That's how we do, you know?
Right. And I think
and don't buy any candles.
It's difficult. It's got to be difficult because it's one of those things where, you know, if somebody goes and has an experience like that, and let's say they're new to this and somebody's asking for $500 a month, they probably take all tarot readers and put them in that same category and say, ah, I'm never going to one of those again because they're nothing but frauds.
Oh, absolutely. And I have friends who've gotten readings from me who have told me I gave this one lady $1,000 because she said that I had some bad energy and she was going to fix it for me. And all I could do is say, honey, I'm really sorry that that happened. But the only person who can reverse your fortune is you. And the only person who can take off whatever curse or negative energy is you. And I'm sorry that that happened. But next time, come talk to me first, right? So these aren't stupid people. These are people who are sad or broken or scared. And if this woman says, give me $5,000, I would guarantee that somebody that week could give her that money. I guarantee it because she's taking advantage. But if that was your first experience, I don't know that I would have gotten a reading again. You know what I mean? So I get that. It's kind of shady.
Now, I know that you said that you're not a fortune teller, but is there ever a time, A, when you see something really ominous in the cards for somebody, and B, what do you do when that happens?
Yeah, I do. And maybe I use too broad a stroke with it, not a fortune teller thing, because that's not all that I do, but there's an element of that to what I do. And I have seen that people are going to die. And I got very clear signs. I don't know how much time we have, but that I'm not supposed to talk about death and birth. Other readers do, but I'm not supposed to. Mm-hmm. I got yelled at by the universe. And one person I did, because she asked me, she had like seven illnesses. She was dying and she wanted to know how much time she had left because she was like already in a chair. She wanted to travel before she became immobile. And she wanted to know how much time she had so her and her husband could cash in a bunch of stuff and go travel. And I said, you have 18 months. She was like, I'm banking on that. I'm like, that's fine. Do that. And then, you know, let me know how it goes. So I gave her my card. And about 20 months later, her husband called me and said, we were able to go to Ireland and Scotland. She died 2 months ago.
Wow.
And she had a ball. She had a ball. And so in that instance, I felt I was allowed to tell her. But if I see, I'll kind of shorten the story. I had a friend of mine who had cancer, and his friend, our mutual friend, said, just do a little reading and see if he's going to be okay, because he beat this before. And I did a reading, and I saw that he was going to die in a year and a half. Now, how do I tell his family that? You can't.
Tough.
You can't. Because they didn't ask me to do a reading. Someone else asked me to read for him. And I was just looking out to see, you know, because he beat it before. Is it going to be chemo? Is it going to be radiation? No, he's going to die. I wasn't expecting that. Or else I never would have done the reading, honestly. So I can't tell anybody. So I got to carry it around in me. And this is somebody that I loved for a year and a half. And then he died in a year and a half, you know? And afterwards, I talked with his family about it. And they were like, we're so glad you didn't tell us. Because how do you go forward knowing that if you're not asking for it, you know? That's too heavy and too hard, and it's not my job. So I try to stay in my lane, you know? There are some things that are just outside of my purview, and I shouldn't touch them.
Do you ever try to give somebody gentle guidance, though? Maybe like if you see it's something that's avoidable, you'll say maybe cut back on the booze a little bit, eat a few steaks, anything like that?
Well, I had this client that I saw for 2 years in a row at the picnic, right, that I mentioned earlier. And I told her the same thing. I was like, and I did scare her. I was like, I don't usually do this, but if you keep, you know, she was overweight and unhealthy and smoking and stuff. And I said, if you continue like this, you're going to die early. You need to know that, like 20, 25 years tops. And she was only 20 years old. And then she came back the next year and sat down for another reading, and she hadn't changed anything. And I said, sis, I don't know if you're listening to me or not. If you continue on this path, you're not going to get to see your kids grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you feel about that? And the next year she came back and she'd lost 45 pounds and had quit smoking, because it took me kind of pointing in her face and saying, why are you even here? You don't care enough to make a change. Why am I giving you the same reading 2 years in a row? And I actually grounded her from readings. I was like, you're done. I got nothing else to tell you, you know? But I believe it's been several years. She's lost about 90 pounds and still hasn't started smoking, and she's doing great, and she changed her future. But the first few times she came by, I didn't see anything past 45 at all. There was nothing. It was gray.
Wow. And is that,
and I shared that with her.
Yeah. Is that what you see? I mean, just emptiness, nothingness.
Yeah.
Somebody's not going to be around.
Like, I knew that my first husband and I weren't going to grow old together. And the only way I knew that is because when I get little flashes of what was coming for me, I never saw him bald. And he was losing his hair. And he knew we're going to get a divorce probably before he loses all his hair. And we did. And then I met my current husband 3 years ago, and I had a dream a couple of nights that he's this beautiful Mexican-American man. He's gorgeous. And that he had like this Wolfman Jack, like silver streak in his beard, mm-hmm. and he had silver in his hair. And I was like, oh, I get him forever. Awesome. You know? So I get little flashes of what it's going to look like. And I dreamt about my daughter 15 years before I had her. I saw little dimples and curly hair, and I called her Zoe in the dream. Right. And flash forward 15 years, I have a little girl with dimples and curly hair, named her Zoe. But my son, who was born 17 months later, surprised the hell out of everybody, you know? So sometimes I get an inkling and sometimes I don't. And I actually had a reading after I had my daughter that said a son will be following quickly. And I was like, ha ha, no more kids for me. Yeah. he's 11 now. How's that for no more kids? So, yeah. So it's kind of weird for me. I don't generally read for myself because I don't feel like I'm supposed to, but I do a daily draw, just kind of an idea of what the day's going to look like. But I don't look at where am I going to be in 10 years or how's it going to work out with me and Joe, because I have to live this life and I have to figure it out, you know? And that's why I don't do readings for people that often, like maybe once every 3 months, because I can't write their script for them. I have to give them little signposts along the way, because if I get too involved, then I'm doing them a disservice. You know,
now, In terms of the cards, what do you think the cards are tapping into? What is this? Is it universe? Is it God? What? Where is this knowledge coming from?
I totally just read an article about this, dude. Okay, so there's this thing called the Lymph. I know, I'm all excited. There's this thing called, it's going to be on bustle.com, which is a website that's pretty cool. But it's basically everybody has this. It's called the limbic system, right? And it's this little nervous system, like subneur. I can't remember the scientific term. Paranervous system. Anyway, limbic system, right? So when we were out in the middle of the savannah, right, and somebody felt that there was a lion there, and everybody kind of stand up, like that the little meerkats do, right? Theirs is hopping. Their limbic system is tapped in. One of them knows something. All of them know something, right? Or they can just sense that danger is near. We, all of us have that. It's just kind of buried under our big, huge brain, right? It's also called the lizard brain, right? So we all have that. We know who's on the phone before we pick it up. Or I had a terrible stomach ache one day, and my kid's school called and said that my son had been throwing up. And then my stomach ache went away. So stuff like that happens all the time, and we all have it. But I tap into mine and have done so for 27 years every day. Every day I'm relying on that to do reading. So mine is really strong. The other part is Carl Jung's collective unconscious, right? So it's that kind of, the cloud. We're all tapped into this cloud, and we're all connected. And every day I'm swimming in the cloud. So mine is really strong. So the article that I wrote, and my theory, which other people believe other things, and I think we're all right to some degree, because I might be wrong. I don't know. I'll find out later. But my thing is that we both use the collective unconscious, and we use our limbic system, and we tap in and grab ideas and grab things. Like, I sat down with a girl the other night, and I said, you're miserable here. You don't like your boyfriend, and you work with a bunch of a-holes. I don't know if I can swear on this, but and she looked at me, and she goes, how the hell did you know that? And her mouth dropped open. I was like, well, this card here says, and this card here says, and I kind of broke down what the card said. I'm like, but I'm feeling from you that you feel stuck and you're miserable, and yet you're not doing anything about it. So let's talk about that. Why aren't you doing anything about it? And she goes, shut up. God, how did you know that? So we had to have this hard conversation that she'd been avoiding for 2 years. She'd been in this relationship she didn't like. She was working with people she didn't care for in a city that she wasn't fond of for 2 years. Like, that's 2 years too long, sis, you know? So, yeah.
You have a chapter in the book about weird readings. What's one of your favorite, weirdest readings that you've ever had?
Okay. I had this one, and I was reading, and it was so long ago that it was before I felt comfortable acknowledging that people were gay, because I didn't know if they were out, right? So it's back in the early 90s, and I'm just like, so this person that you're dating, right? And we're playing the pronoun game. And then finally I was like, dude, you're totally gay. He's like, yes, just continue. I'm like, great. Okay, so this man you're dating is too young for you, and he is thinking about stealing from you, and he's only living with you for the free rent. So you need to get him out of your house before it starts going sour. And behind me, I hear, you bitch. And I see this young man stalk off into the distance. And I was like, oh no. And the guy in front of me started laughing. So I'm sitting there. Obviously, the guy behind me was his boyfriend.
Oh.
And he takes out a $50 bill, right, and lays it on the table and goes, that was the best breakup I've ever had. Thank you. And then walked away whistling. So that was my favorite. So, because I didn't know his little friend was standing behind us, so that was a little awkward. And then I had a guy call, and he's like this thick New York accent, right? And he's like, "Doll, listen, I got 5 minutes, all right? Is she gonna say yes or what?" And I'm like, "Crap!" And I pulled the cards, and I got the Two of Cups, and I was like, "Yes, yes." He goes, "Good, sweetheart, because I just bought the ring. Thanks." And then he hangs up to go propose. That's awesome. So he just wanted to call me to get that little bit of, is she going to say yes? And she absolutely was. And that was so much fun because I could feel his excitement because he's super in love with her. So yeah, that was fun. I got to be part of an engagement. So
that is cool. Now, does that work readings over the phone? Is that really, does it resonate that way?
It does. It's the weirdest thing because I used to only do them in person until like the early 90s, I guess, or late 90s after college, because my friend was in Texas. And she said, I need a reading. And I said, well, good luck. You're in Texas and my arms aren't that long. And she said, just do it over the phone. Just do it over the phone. So we started on the phone and it was going okay. And then she had to go and she just finished it online. And I'm still learning what email is at this point, right? I'm like, okay, I will finish it online. And I don't think it's going to work because I'm not Dionne Warwick. I am not Miss Cleo. I do not, right? So I finish her reading online. And at the end, I put, are you in a gray hoodie playing with your feet? Just because it was in my head. And she called me as soon as I hit send and said, how the hell did you know that? And I saw it in my head. I saw her in a gray hoodie playing with her feet. And she's like, I just got home and my shoes hurt. So I was taking them off and rubbing my feet. And then I saw that I got an email from you. So that's pretty cool. I don't know how it works, but it does, you know? And I keep like, I always do email readings. They're always $30 always because I've been broke and needed a reading before. Right. And my email readings are very quick and very efficient, but they're very accurate. So I tell people if you just want an answer, you don't want a conversation, get an email reading. It's cheaper. You know, it takes less time and we'll figure out what you need. But phone readings are more like what we're doing here. It's more like a conversation.
Right.
So I will, I'll shuffle the cards and have the person tell me when to stop shuffling. And then I'll put them in the three piles and ask them to choose which pile I'm going to read from. And then I lay them out and I text them a picture. I love cell phones. Text them a picture of the reading. So they can look at it when we're on the phone. And then we just talk. And all the information is right there for me, just as if they were in person.
Huh.
So it's pretty cool. Yeah.
That is very, very cool. And this looks like it is a very cool book if you're interested in tarot or tarot, whatever
Indeed.
The case may be. It is Kitchen Table Tarot. Pull up a chair, shuffle the cards, and let's talk tarot. And if I could talk, our guest has been Melissa Sanova. Melissa, where can people find the book and also find more information about all of your work?
You can find the book at Llewellyn's website. That's my publisher. And you can find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I will hopefully have a link to Llewellyn on my website soon. And if you look up Melissa Sanova, C-Y-N-O-V-A, or Little Fox Tarot, you'll find me. So just Google me and you got me.
Very good. The book again, Kitchen Table Tarot. Pull up a chair, shuffle the cards, and let's talk tarot. Melissa Sanova has been our guest. Melissa, thank you for being on the program today.
I had a great time. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that show as much as I did. I found it fascinating. I'm always curious about the tarot, and we've had various guests over the years, and they've all been great. And this is yet another resource, so I hope you enjoyed it. We'll talk to you next time on The Other Side. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.